Today in Real Ghost Stories Online, what caused one person to see a ghost train outside of their window when there was no active rail line outside at all?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. And 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Support our program. Keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, as we call them, EPPs. Ghostpodcast.com is a place to do just that. Or patreon.com/realghoststories. With that, you get access to the world's largest archive of audio ghost stories ever created. Yeah, I can't be any more raw and honest than that. You get access to all of that. The largest audio archive of ghost stories on tape is what you get at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Also access to advanced episodes of our show, commercial-free weeks before the release to the public. Again, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode. And how are things going in your world today, Carol?
Well, you know, Tony, it's kind of fun because you and I are recording on a Friday night.
Yeah.
And Friday nights during the pandemic, I really have nothing going on.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like it's kind of like a party night.
It kind of is.
I got a beer. This is kind of fun.
It's a little more laid back than like a Tuesday or a Monday or a Wednesday night or something like that.
Right?
Yeah. It really is.
I feel like I had a social event, and I'm like, I never have social events, I swear.
I ate half a frozen pizza tonight. I feel so wild.
You know what I'm doing tomorrow night, though? This is kind of cool.
Yep.
So Sundance Film Festival, obviously they're not having it.
Yeah.
But a friend of mine has a micro cinema that she runs here. She's really involved in the independent film scene nationally and film festival scene. And so Sundance is showing their films at different places. And tomorrow night, I'm going to go see some of those Sundance films at the drive-in.
Oh, that sounds really cool.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm seeing. I'm like, I don't care.
Is that like in conjunction with the, because in Wichita, I know there was like the Tallgrass Film Festival. Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not associated with that.
Okay.
So this is actually the Sundance Film Festival.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's one of those things where there's so many interesting things that are happening with the pandemic, and there's a lot of shit, but there's a lot of things that actually are kind of neat that I'm looking at going, I'm kind of glad this has kind of almost revived these sort of things, like drive-in movies. And
I think that like with this, some of these films, they have some Q&A that, for an additional cost, that you could go online and virtually listen to the director speak.
Yeah.
So,
That's neat.
I'm really excited about it.
We have a drive-in not too far from here that's still in operation, and it's one of those last of the, Mohicans drive-ins, if you will. And it was kind of on its last legs, but I swear to God, the pandemic has given it a new life.
Same here.
And they've actually sold out, like Walmart, because Walmart lives in this area. We're in the center of Walmart, the capital of the Walmart universe, and Walmart actually bought it out for the last couple of months to do nights for their employees and different theme nights for just to keep morale within their company. But it's opening up more and more now to the public again. But we went and saw Goonies there in the summer last year during the pandemic. And there's so many more things that they're opening up. And it's fun. And you go there and it's like, oh, this is... These are the things before the pandemic you wished people would appreciate. And I think some of the things that are going on in the pandemic, as difficult as they are going to bring people back to some areas that may have otherwise been completely glossed over or just died and almost created new life when nothing else could have possibly given it life. other than forcing people to actually go to it without a choice.
And like, I really, the whole idea of one more virtual meeting, I'm like, please, I can't.
Oh, God. Yeah.
But some things like a film festival, you might be able to find a whole new way to interact with people rather than just have it in one location.
Yeah.
You could do some of it online. Like, you could keep that part of it going forever.
I think,
and make some more money.
I think the pandemic has given a entire new life to documentaries. Just in terms of people loving them and finding them and appreciating them, and a whole generation that never really would have probably found them. But there's so many now that are so good. It's like, I don't even know like what to watch anymore, because there's just like so many damn documentaries to watch that it used to be like, oh, well, can I find one that I like? Now it's like there's an explosion of them.
Oh, and I've gone down the whole rock and roll rabbit hole.
Yeah.
So, like I watched Kiss documentary. I watched Led Zeppelin. I watched Fleetwood Mac. Lynyrd Skynyrd, like, I did a deep dive. I watched 3 documentaries about them. Like, it's just kind of fascinating.
It is. One of my favorites, though, is still the Eagles one that came out a couple of years ago, prior to the pandemic. But that was one of my favorites. Anywho, let's jump into a ghost story and take the show that direction. Let's start out with this one. It says, my family bought a house around 2015. I like overthinking things, so I was like, maybe there's a ghost in my room. Of course, nothing happened for the first few months. After like 5 months in the house, I started to experience sleep paralysis, and the only thing I could move was my eyes. I panicked when I experienced it because I was just not sure if I was just dreaming or was awake and could not move. I looked to my right, on my left was a wall, and I saw this lady with long black hair wearing a white dress. I could not see her face. I was just like a white light. I'll just call it a white lady. I could not see her face, but I can feel she was staring at me. I blinked, looked away, and looked back, hoping she disappeared, but nope. After a few minutes, which felt like hours, I could move, sat up. When I looked back, she was gone. It happened at least once a week, and she would sometimes be far from me, near the window or near me within hand's reach. Sometimes she would be hovering above my foot and staring down at me. And it started happening twice a week, then 3 times a week. After experiencing sleep paralysis that much, I got used to it. I was to be able to stop the sleep paralysis by closing my eyes and preparing myself, then moving instantly. Like how you react when you get shocked or once you start to feel the burn when you touch something that's hot. Then the happening started to decline up to once a month. One night it happened again, but this time I could hear the train sounds. When I looked to my right, there was a ghost train. I could see through it, going from one wall to the other wall, parallel to my bed. The train looked like those old trains, like the steam train or whatever you call it. They were pulling those old-looking railway carriages where you can stand and hang out the outside. There are people or ghosts on the train. The train was moving fast, but weirdly enough, I can see it clearly, which should be kind of blurry when you look at things moving fast. The ghosts on the train were wearing different outfits, like they were some sort of modern clothes, and I clearly remember people wearing a suit and a top hat. Not sure when this was popular or what the outfit is called. I kind of felt scared because each one of the ghosts was looking at me like the way I knew I could see them. I could stop the sleep paralysis with my method. But I did not know why I did not do it. Probably because I was curious. I was fascinated by what was happening. A lot of trains like it was never ending. And after a few hours, the last train passed by. My eyes opened wide when I saw who was on the outside of the last carriage. Yes, you probably guessed it. It was a white lady still staring at me. After that night, I never experienced any sleep paralysis with a white lady again. I still sometimes experience sleep paralysis, but I just do my method and never even try to look at whatever it was or what it was, just me and my overthinking brain. Just imagine I'm experiencing sleep paralysis. Anyway, I enjoy listening to your podcast. Keep up the good work and good luck. That would be a very terrifying sleep paralysis experience, seeing a train going through your room.
I mean, can it, like, okay, so I don't have the words. But to me, is that like a ghost train? Like, that's weird to me.
I don't know.
Is it weird?
It is. I
don't think, have you heard of anything like that?
When you think of sleep paralysis, you think of like the old lady or something,
right.
or just kind of, you know, kind of mundane things. And you're not a freight train going through your room on the side. That
and
is traumatic.
The people. Like, that's just really unusual to
yes.
me. I don't think I've ever seen that even in a movie.
One of the most dramatic sleep paralysis experiences I've ever heard of.
Like, that would scare the shit out of me. But I don't, but it's like, it just makes me, like, could it be, since it's sleep paralysis, something that's really not real and you think you're seeing it? Or...
I would have to wonder if there's something going on there with the line, the area where she lives, if, and this is what my first question would be, is do you have any history of where your house is and where the train lines ran? The fact that you're seeing those things in your room.
Yeah.
Could there be an association? I mean, I would only think that it would make sense that there's an association there, at least close by, where there was a train line that at least at one point ran through there that would have projected that sort of energy. Because I don't know why an individual by themselves would be having an experience like that.
And then the white lady was on the train.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Now, that said, like, seriously scare the shit out of me. If you are in like a sleep paralysis state and that happens, it seems like if there's a train in your room, it would also seem very loud and chaotic and what the hell?
Yeah.
Or is it just a little one?
I don't know how you make any sort of peace with that. I mean, I can't sleep after I've like one night of difficulty sleeping just from something minor. More or less the idea of, oh, last night a freight train went through my room. Oh, yeah, let's put on some calming music.
And the white lady was on it.
But tonight, let's put on some Sade and we'll fall asleep just fine to Smooth Operator. No, I don't think that's going to work well. I don't think that's going to happen. But I guess to each their own. But no, I'd be curious.
When you would come kind of too out of that, it would be like, what was that?
Yeah.
Would it be terrifying or would it be just so surreal? It's like that couldn't have happened.
Fuck, I wake up from dreams right now at like 4 or 5 in the morning. And it's like, I wake up from them like almost sweating going, oh my God, is that real? And I go, no, that's not. That was all my dream. No, it's okay. And I can't fall back asleep. I end up like turning on Frasier till like 7 or 8 in the morning. And I kind of doze a little bit. I cannot imagine that experience as to what she described.
And then after that, did not see the white lady.
No.
So it was like, she's around. And then the big freight train came and took her away.
Yeah.
That's like, why?
I love trains and creepy shit, but not in the middle of my bedroom at 4 a.m.
I have train tracks that are a couple miles from my house, maybe. And it's all night long. You hear the trains.
I had, when I was in Wichita, my house there, you know, there was that line right behind my house, like literally, like right behind my house where was I? Over in the west side. I can't think of the road I was on, but you'd visit
the apartment or
no,
the house?
No, the house
okay.
on the west side before I left. There was a train line literally right behind my house. And me and Harp would sit in her treehouse and we wave at the train. And if that train derailed, it would have taken out our backyard and her treehouse and everything else because it was literally right there.
That had to have been loud.
It was a little bit. In the middle of the night, the trains would go by really slow and you'd hear the rumbling. But honestly, it didn't bother me. There were so many nights because I'd wake up at like 2 or 3 in the morning and go use the restroom. And it was kind of cool. I would find because I love trains. And I would look out the window and hear this rumbling coming. and I'd see the lights of the engine coming right down towards me. And this was literally no more than probably 50, 70 feet away from where I was. I could see the engine and the lights. I could read the numbers on the engine light and everything and see it all coming down the track. It was kind of cool to see in the night moving past. And most people would probably not appreciate that, but I found it really kind of cool.
And I like the sound of trains. I actually like hearing them at night. I don't want one in my room.
I don't want in my room either, but I like trains, and I always just kind of thought that was a neat little, they're each their own, and most people are not like a train track right in their backyard, but I actually enjoyed mine, and I enjoyed seeing those trains coming and seeing the engines and all of the, everything that came with those giant machines. They're just so fascinating to me. Almost the same way that like ocean liners are fascinating to me. There's something about them. I don't know what it is. It's just the giantness of the machinery that's doing these things or what it is, but
some past life thing.
It might be. It might very well be.
I don't know.
When I was a kid, there was two things I was obsessed with looking at books at the library. It was trains and the Titanic. At like 3 or 4 years old, it was every book I could find about trains and the Titanic. And that's all I would do. And that's 1980.
Not trains, like every boy's trains,
no.
But the Titanic.
It's 85, 86, this was going on.
Yeah.
So it was prior to Ballard really kind of, I mean, it was like right at the time Ballard was discovering it. But it was, so I was on board at the moment that he was discovering it. And I actually, in Wichita, I actually had the ability, I went and actually saw Dr. Ballard do a speech down at the Historical Museum downtown about 10 years ago. And he talked about all of his investigating the Titanic, and he signed my a book that I bought when I was about 8. About him.
Oh, that's cool.
Discovering the Titanic. And I said, this is a paperback. I bought it with my allowance money when I was like 8. And I have always been so fascinated with you. And he talked to me for a little bit. And it was just the neatest little moment of talking to this kind of historical hero of mine that I never, in my wildest dreams, thought I'd ever meet face to face.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. Anyway, let's continue on with our ghost stories. Next one says, hello, I have a story and I would be intrigued to hear your thoughts. A few months ago in Tennessee, had a slew of tornadoes hit my area in the middle of the COVID pandemic. Thankfully, the homes on my road were safe, but a local cemetery down the road up the hill was not as safe. This storm had about 200,000 Nashvillians out of power for 2 weeks. My daughters come back from their mother-in-law's house one day after a long day of work at my end, and they were filling my husband and me on everything that transpired that day. Apparently, there was a group of reporters interviewing a distant cousin at a local cemetery after the storm, showing the storm damage. After hearing the story from our oldest daughter, we pile the kids into the car and take the 5-minute drive down the road and up the hill to the cemetery. As we pull in, the girls run to a family's gravestone with my husband. I'm following behind. I look at this massive tree, which fell completely over on top of some incredibly old graves. We make our way around the tree and observe the graves this tree fell on. My husband was filling me in on this the history. Apparently, the section is where a bunch of slaves were buried. The tombstones were incredibly old, and you could hardly read them. The sky was blue, not a hint of wind. I was on one side of the plot, my husband and two daughters were on the other side. Suddenly, you hear rustling. This limb from another tree falls randomly in the middle of myself and my family. The way it fell was almost like somebody pushed it. The limb jetted out and fell. I was slightly worried. One of us was about to get hit. That is how close we were. Once again, the skies were blue. Zero wind. I just thought it was a weak limb. I just happened to fall due to the previous storm as we were standing there. The next day, my mother's in-law's house, we're having dinner. My mother-in-law lives across the street, so as we were leaving, my husband and daughters were already walking home. As I'm behind saying goodbye to my mother-in-law as I'm walking down her hill to the road, another limb falls and I pass right by it. Once again, blue sky and zero wind. Only this time, it just fell. It did not fall as someone pushed it. It felt weird. 2 days in a row, these limbs just fall as I'm standing right there and my family is ahead of me. Part of me felt like it was an omen of sorts. Part of me felt like it could have been the previous storm. Simply weird. It happened as I was right there. And 2 days in a row. I'd be intrigued to hear if you've heard of this before in the paranormal realm. If you think it could be just the after effects of the storm. Thanks for your time. I'll send some pictures of the cemetery along as well. To my knowledge, no ghosts were detected. No ghosts were detected in the pictures. Just to give you an idea of the atmosphere of the cemetery, since I did take pictures of the damage. It was very creepy. Thoughts on that situation?
Well, so, like, it could be, you know, an ominous sort of thing, some foreboding. But then if nothing really happened after that, you know, it could, if there was a storm, it could be just the branch got loose in the storm and it just fell. You know, because I have a lot of trees in my yard now, and, you know, I had a big branch come down one day, and it wasn't windy, probably because the murder shed's right there. But, you know, my guess is that it just was weak. It's an old tree, and it was weak. But, you know, it is weird that it would happen to you 2 days in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, that is strange to me. But, you know, it could be explained by the storm weakening some branches in a tree. So I guess there is an explanation.
Yeah, there is some possible logical explanation there. It's just,
but what a weird thing to happen to.
The timing of it is what's questionable, but very creepy nonetheless. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. Let's jump to a call. Hi, I'm listening.
Hi, my name is Gino, and I live in Baltimore County, Maryland. I've lived here most of my life, although I did spend some time living in Alexandria, Virginia, and also Orlando and Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Let's start from the beginning, because I've had a lot of paranormal experiences. At the age of 3, I heard in bed people talking. And I opened my eyes, and there were a bunch of them. I'm going to say probably 13 ghosts. However, I did not know what they were. I thought they were people, and I had not noticed that they were slightly transparent, although pretty solid. Anyway, interestingly enough, in death, there is segregation, because all of the spirits on the side of the bed were Caucasian. But the two at the foot of the bed, who seemed to be together, were an African-American lady dressed in what I'm going to guess was probably a plain cotton dress, her hair pulled straight back into a bun. And she was with a Native American man with a headdress and buckskin. And I got the feeling that they were together. And I don't know why, but I remember that because they were so different. Anyhow, I later found out, and I have reason to believe, that they actually were my great-great-grandparents. Anyhow, looking at these people and hearing them talk, and they seemed delighted that I could see and hear them. I yelled for my mother, "Mom, people in my room." To which she replied, "Oh, you're having a bad dream. Go back to sleep." Now, I'm sitting straight up in bed looking at these people. "Mom, people in my room." Under protest, I hear her get up. She comes in. She flipped on the light, and they just kind of faded out like they had been bleached away. She said, "There's nobody in here. Go back to sleep." Well, this proceeded pretty much nightly until the age of 6. And once again, I heard voices. I opened my eyes. I looked at them and said, "Oh, you woke me up." And I rolled over and went back to sleep. And that was the last time I saw them. I have a whole bunch of other experiences, but I'll see if you like this one. And if you do, I'll call back. Thank you. Enjoy the podcast very much. Happy holidays.
And happy post-holidays to you, too. Thank you for sharing that experience. Thoughts?
Well, number one, I would love for him to call back and share more stories.
Yeah.
Because obviously, if he had that experience, he's had quite a few more. But it's so weird to me because I don't have any memories of, I don't have a lot of memories, like maybe before seven.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine remembering something when you were three. Like,
I don't
even remember being in kindergarten.
Did you block them out?
I don't know.
Like, when drugs? You, like
high school? I don't know.
Well, you weren't doing drugs at seven. But when you look back, are they just gone or do you?
Yeah, I have not.
Okay.
Like, I remember one thing with my dad because he shot a deer and he brought it home and he was so excited and he thought I'd be excited and I just remember screaming. I remember that.
Yeah.
I might have been three, but it's like little snippets.
Interesting.
So I think it's interesting that, and I bet I was older than three.
Yeah.
Anyways, but there's just little snippets of things. And so I'm fascinated that he would even remember that.
Sure.
That it went on every night from three until six. Like from three till six for me, I have like two memories.
And the thing is, I vividly remember three to six. I mean,
I don't remember anything.
I could give you a gazillion memories of those time periods.
So I'm kind of fascinated by his memory.
Yeah.
As much as I am by that story. But it's interesting that the last night he's like, you woke me up. And then that was it.
Yeah.
So I wonder if he had talked to him before, or was it the first time he really acknowledged him, or why did they leave that night? I would love, and that's what, there is no answer for that.
Yeah, you're right. There really isn't. It's just.
But I totally believe he was seeing what he thought he was seeing.
Oh, completely. Yeah.
I totally believe that.
Completely. It was a creepy story. Thank you for sharing that with us.
But more. I want to hear more stories from him.
I would. Please do call back in. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's hear another story. I'm listening.
Hi, this is Sandy again. And my other couple more of my stories are, I used to have a bridal shop, and it was in when we lived in Davenport, Iowa. And the bridal shop was over in Rock Island, Illinois, which is right next to each other, basically. And one day, this was like 25 years ago, one day I was at work, and I often took my kids to work with me because we had a lot of kids, and I didn't want to have a babysitter, so we would just take them with me, and they'd help me around the shop, that type of thing. And that at the time, one of my daughters was about 6 years old, and she was in the shop with me, and then we had one customer in the shop, and the person had been trying on bridles and such. And my daughter and the customer and I were standing around talking, and all of a sudden these two monks came into the shop, because the shop was in an old Catholic girls' school that has since been no longer was a Catholic girls' school. And the monks came in. They were dressed in full monk garb, but it was not, I'm Catholic, so I know what monks look like, but the clothing that they had on then, it was long gray, like really rough robes, and really, you know, the real fabric almost looked like gunny sacks or that type of burlap type stuff, really rough and really, and they were fully dressed, and they were gray, which you don't see, I've never seen gray robes on any monks. I don't see monks very often, but the ones that I used to see as a kid, they were never gray, and they were never the really rough fabric. Anyway, two monks came into the store and asked where the nuns were. It didn't even dawn on myself or my customer or my daughter. We just stood there and started talking to these two monks. And they asked where the nuns were, and we answered them that the school had closed years before and that they were no nuns in the school anymore. And so basically they just turned around and left. And as soon as they left, myself, my daughter, and the customer all looked at each other like, did that really happen? And because they were just as solid as us, the three people that were standing in there, that, you know, it was just weird. And I went to look out the window of where it was at, and the only cars in the parking lot were mine and my customers, so there wasn't additional cars. I stood there and watched for the monks. They never left, so it was just very strange. So that's one of my other stories.
Very bizarre experience to have in a setting like that.
Well, and I mean, if they really were actual people,
yeah,
would they have walked into a bridal store and said, where are the nuns? Like, you're in a bridal store. They're obviously not here.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you ask a different question? Like, what happened to this place?
Or would you be just,
used to be
just as confused, just going, where are the nuns? You know, just, you know, not really knowing what to ask other than where are they, you know?
Or when did you put up a bridal shop in
Yeah,
here?
Like, what is this? Why is there a, what are these dresses? What happened? What is going on? You know, just to kind of...
Because if you were to walk into, if any of us walked into a, you know, from your childhood, if you went back to your old hometown, haven't been there forever, and you went into the library, and the library is now a bridal store.
Yeah.
And you're like, what happened to the library? When did it turn into a bridal store? You'd be kind of like, wow, look at this.
Yeah.
You would have a different reaction. More of a, this is kind of crazy. When did this happen?
Yeah.
Where are the nuns? There's something.
There's something that's there that we don't know what it exactly is, but They're from a different place in time or something, looking for those individuals. And just a creepy experience.
Because especially if you're in a bridal shop.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell are you guys doing?
The haunted bridal shop. My hometown mall, which had all the bridal shops, just got torn down recently. And there's like a small segment of the mall that is left. Just a very tiny piece that's connected to the Kohl's. And that's it. And so it's just like, where like the Staples was, and you know, one or two other stores, and I've seen pictures, and it's just so sad to see, because it's like there's, you can see like the inlet of the mall, and then it's just like tarp, and beyond that tarp is nothing, and all that mall, that whole mall that was my childhood, that was being pushed through there on a stroller, going to the JCPenney, going to the Prangies, going to the Yonkers, going to the Boston store, going to all that stuff. All of that has been erased.
You know, people just don't shop like that now. It's
they
like,
don't.
I'm going to go into Penny's, get what I'm getting, and get out of there.
But it's sad because as a kid, I mean, I was a child of the 80s, and malls were such a big thing. You know, it was like, ooh, all the rage. And this, like, you think of the malls, because my mom would sometimes take me to downtown, like the downtown of the city, and go, yeah, this used to be like our mall. And I would see it deteriorating and falling apart, and there wasn't much left of downtown when I was a kid. But there were little, like, remnants of it. Oh, that's so neat. And then we go to the mall, and the mall was so vibrant and big, and everything was going on. And now to be kind of the age my mom was when she was taking me to the mall, and knowing that mall is now just being torn down, it's just such a weird, you know, 180, 360. I don't even know what it is. Because there was no replacement for it. Because the mall was the replacement for the downtown. And the mall is gone now. And now that town doesn't hold anything. That is that shopping district. It's just gone. There's nothing. It's not
they
there.
They should have been in a bridal shop.
There's like a bridal shop in the corner next to the porn shop or something. And that's about it. And there's a Pizza Hut next door.
To the landscaping place.
Exactly. And that's 2021. And it's just, it's depressing as shit. But it is what it is. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like our show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. EPP, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to keep us on the air. Get all the extras, all the bonus episodes, all commercial free, ebook, audiobook. Everything is there. and check it out. Until next time, for Carol, thank you for listening and supporting Real Ghost Stories Online.